Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Food Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. For more promotional offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. And don't forget to check out our contest section. In the world of commercial beekeeping, the American almond pollination season is the biggest in the world. It is also the most important indicator of what can be expected regarding the longevity of the colonies. Each year, Tom and I have examined a myriad of issues plaguing beekeepers in their plight to maintain the health of their colonies as they struggle to keep their operations afloat. On today's show, Tom and I are going to talk to Jean Brandy, who is the president of the American Beekeeping Federation, about some of the key issues facing commercial beekeepers this season. First, I'd like to welcome to the show my co-host, Colorado beekeeper, Mr. Tom Theobald. Hello, Tom.
Hello, June.
And how are things in Colorado with your bees?
Well, we have passed from our string of warm, sunny, dry days into a snowstorm, so it's been snowing all day. Typical of Colorado winter, up and down, roller coaster ride. But some of the early trees are beginning to flower, and that's the first sign of spring for us.
Thank you, Tom. And our guest today, Mr. Gene Brandy. Good afternoon, Gene, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, June. My pleasure to be here.
Gene, can you take a moment and share with our listeners a little bit about yourself as well as your role with the American Beekeeping Federation?
Sure. Well, I've been keeping bees for quite some time. I started keeping bees in the early 70s when I was going to college. Down at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and actually was working for beekeepers at that time, and one of the beekeepers allowed me to lease 100 hives from him that we kind of ran on a partnership basis, and I took the bees down to San Luis Obispo and made a lot of honey in the early 70s because we had an El Nino year, kind of like we're having this year, and I got hooked. So I've had my own business since the late 1970s, and today my son and I operate about 2,000 colonies when they're all alive and healthy for honey production as well as pollination here in Central California. We live in Los Banos, but we operate in a range of about probably within 100 miles of here, depending upon the year, depending upon the season. Certainly this time of year, the almonds, you know, being the largest bee pollination event in the world are right here in our backyard. I mean, we live in the Central Valley of California, which is ground zero for almond pollination. Right now, there are 1.2 million acres of almonds in the valley where I live here, so it certainly is a major part of what we do. I started putting bees and almonds for pollination back in the early 70s when I was working for the other beekeepers, so I've been moving bees to almonds and keeping bees and almonds for pollination for well over 40 years, actually over 45 years. It's something I've been doing for a long, long time. But back in those days, in the 70s, acreage was much less, and it was not a national event as it is today. So it certainly is an important part of California agriculture and an important part of the bee industry, not only for me, but for the majority of the beekeepers in the USA who are here right now in Central California with their bees.
Thank you, Gene. Could you share with our listeners what are some of the issues that face our beekeepers during this pollination season?
Well, certainly our bee health issues have been a major problem for beekeepers in the USA for quite a number of years now. You know, colony collapse disorder became a household term, if you will, or common term nationwide back in 2006, but we started having issues even before that. Matter of fact, in 2004, we had a nationwide shortage of bees. A lot of bees died and everything. But basically, we've got some major issues that we're dealing with that are impacting the health of our beehives negatively. Certainly, varroa mites is an issue. Pesticide exposure is an issue. Lack of good forage, lack of good, healthy, uncontaminated forage is an issue as well. And there's also some diseases. But from my perspective, if the varroa mite level can be controlled in the colony, that can really help to minimize the disease, especially the viruses, because varroa is a vector of viruses. If exposure to certain pesticides that compromise the immune system of the bee can be minimized or eliminated, then there's other diseases that the bees would not even, you know, succumb to, because their immune systems would be healthy enough to withstand them. So mites, pesticides, poor forage, and diseases are the four major issues that have been impacting the health of our bees.
Thank you. Can you explain how the American Beekeeping Federation helps other beekeepers deal with these types of issues?
Well, the American Beekeeping Federation endeavors to help its members learn about the issues we're facing and means to deal with them through our annual convention. We have an annual convention every January, and it rotates around the country from the East Coast to the central part of the country to the West Coast. And we just concluded our annual convention in Galveston, Texas last month. As a matter of fact, that particular convention was a joint convention of our organization, the American Beekeeping Federation, as well as the American Honey Producers and the Canadian Honey Council. We all met together, so it was a very large event. And indeed, we had speakers from all over the country, all over the world, actually. We had international speakers as well who were there to talk about the various issues that we're dealing with and means of dealing with them, you know, through scientific research. And we've also got an educational webinar series that we have monthly webinars, and often we have two a month. And there's all kinds of topics that are covered in these webinars that can help beekeepers of all sizes, you know, because the ABF has members that are just beginning. Maybe they've only got one or two hives. We've also got members that have 25,000 colonies or more. So our membership is quite varied. All beekeeping, of course, we're all beekeepers, but nonetheless, the size of the operations of our members vary from very small to very large. And so we make an attempt to service each and every one of them.
Gene, your tenure in beekeeping has covered the evolution of almond pollination almost from the beginning. When you started, that pollination was probably satisfied by California beekeepers, and as the almond acreage grew, growers began to reach further and further out for bees and beekeepers, and now they come from the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, Florida. It must have been an interesting journey for you as a beekeeper.
Well, what I say, you're right, Tom. What I've said for a long time, and it's still true today, that the increase in demand for bees during almond pollination is the best thing and the worst thing that's ever happened to California beekeeping. And it's wonderful to be able to rent my colonies to growers that are within 10 miles of my house. And we've got a lot of almonds just really close to where I live. And that's wonderful, but that's the good news. The bad news is that we do have beekeepers from all over the country that are right here in our valley. You know, any pests or diseases that are prevalent anywhere in the country are going to be brought right here to my backyard. And some of the people who are from colder states that don't want to go home immediately after almond pollination is done in the middle of March, stick around, and we've got extra competition in honey-making areas where we used to have a lot less competition, Tom. So yeah, I have seen the evolution, and it's good, and there's some not so good to it as well. But nonetheless, it is a very important pollination, you know, the most important pollination in the USA and perhaps in the world.
Gene, can you explain how the American Beekeeping Federation is working with the Almond Board of California?
You know, the Almond Board of California has worked with beekeepers, not only with the ABF, but with the California State Beekeepers and They've even got some of us on their Almond Board Bee Task Force. I've been a member of that for, gosh, quite a few years now. They really want to have the input from the bee industry to help them in their selection of projects, any research projects that they'd like to fund, because they do have a large research budget, and a portion of that budget is allocated toward pollination research. And they've funded a lot of honeybee research projects over the years. So that's one way that they help, that the Almond Board helps the bee industry. Another way, another issue that's come up in recent years, there's been some issues with the application of fungicides and insect growth regulators to blooming almonds, and it's caused some problems for our bee colonies. None of those products have any bee warning on their labels, so that there's no legal reason that they cannot be applied to blooming almonds when the bees are there. But nonetheless, there have been some problems. These products are non-toxic to adult bees, but these products, especially in combination, due to synergism, are causing problems with the brood. That's the developing bees. You know, when the queen lays an egg, it takes 21 days for an adult bee to hatch out through the metamorphosis of the larval and the pupal stages. Well, the insect growth regulator fungicide combinations have caused disruption in the normal development of the baby bees, if you will. So given that there's no legal reason that this can't be done, but nonetheless it's not a good idea that this be done, the Almond Board has partnered with the bee industry to come up with some best management practices that they are urging all almond growers to adopt. And this includes not tank mixing insect growth regulators with fungicides. And if fungicides are used during bloom, that they be applied late in the day on into the evening when the pollen is pretty much gone for the day. And so bees will not be collecting, or will have a lot lower likelihood of collecting contaminated pollen. And they also recommend that no insecticides of any kind be applied, of course, during bloom. That includes the IGRs, the insect growth regulators. So they've got some very good best management practices that many growers have adopted, and it has helped. We've had fewer incidences of the brood damage here in the last couple of years, but nonetheless, there are still some growers and applicators that have not latched on to these best management practices yet. But with regards to your question, the Almond Board has gone, far and above, beyond what I ever thought they would do to try to help. And they're really trying to get growers to adopt these best management practices, which is it's probably as good as we can do under the circumstances, because the fact that the labels of these products don't prohibit their application to blooming almonds or their tank mixing together. And we really think that there should be some more testing of these products to really get to the bottom of which combinations which products or which combinations of products are really the root of the problem. Because when we do have brood damage, it can be very severe. I mean, you pretty much lose a whole generation or more of brood. It's all a function of how much contaminated pollen the bees collect. But nonetheless, there can be some severe brood damage in almonds if these best management practices are not followed.
Gene, on this end, I've talked to beekeepers from both ends of the spectrum. I've talked to commercial beekeepers who feel that their colonies have fallen apart after they've returned from the almonds. And on the other end, I've talked to commercial beekeepers who've told me that they're just boiling out of the boxes when they come back from the almonds. And I'm not sure whether the best management practices are involved in that, but they may very well be.
You know, Tom, they could very well be, or as in so much of beekeeping, it's kind of like real estate. It's all about location, location, location. Even if best management practices are not followed to the T, if the bees are in a location where there's some alternative forage, where there's other sources of pollen or nectar that the bees are working in addition to the almonds, they're helping to dilute any contamination that might be in the almond pollen. So it's the old axiom, the dose is the poison. And if the bees happen to be in a location where there's a lot of other forage besides almonds, the bees will tend to work the almonds first, and then they'll go to other plants later in the day if they're there. And they do help to dilute that and give them a more balanced diet, which is very, you know, as we know, that's very helpful for the bees. The more balanced diet they have, the better. So I think it could be a function of both, Tom.
I've talked to some commercial beekeepers who've told me that there's some flooding because of the rains and the rivers rising. How serious a problem is that?
Again, it's all about location, location, and location. This is the first year that we've had serious flooding in California in over a decade. And we've been praying for a wet year, and we finally got it. It's here with a vengeance, if you will. But we're, as beekeepers, I mean, we're always looking for a nice wet year because it does mean more forage for the bees and a generally a good honey year in the long run. But there are some places where bees just should not be placed when it's a wet year because of rising rivers and creeks. My brother, as a matter of fact, my brother is also in the bee business, and he had some bees that were in a holding yard in January. This is prior to almonds that got washed down a field, about 100 yards or between 100 and 200 yards from where they initially were. The creek broke its banks and just washed them down, and it's he never would have thought that there'd ever be an issue there. He'd never had an issue there in 30 years, but there was an issue this year. So things like that pop up, and there certainly are almond orchards in the valley that are near rivers or creeks where the bees, if they were in a low-lying area, they could have gotten flooded, and most of the beekeepers realized, you know, ahead of time that, hey, this is a low-lying area. I can't put bees on this side of the orchard or in this area because of that. But nonetheless, there has been a little bit of flooding that has hurt some beehives. But it's a price we have to pay, Tom, for having a nice wet year.
Part of the risk, we have to be careful what we hope for. We may have
gotten more
than we bargained for this year.
Oh, yeah. Yes. A lot of these reservoirs that were down to absolutely minimum pool at the beginning of the rainy season in early November are now spilling over the spillways, and they're full. And of course, like with the Oroville situation, they were concerned that they might actually lose, if not lose the dam, at least lose that emergency spillway that would have caused quite a wall of water up in the Sacramento Valley, and would indeed have wiped out a lot of beehives and almond orchards along the way.
We're coming to California in mid-April to shake bees, and we're beginning to wonder how this wet weather may affect the scheduling of that.
Yeah, the colonies, especially up in Northern California, don't have the flight hours. They've not had the flight hours that we normally like to see in order to get the pollination job done and to allow them to build up, because bees need flight hours in order to go through their normal build-up process and increase their populations. So Northern California especially has been short on flight hours so far, but we're hopeful that that's going to change, and certainly the forage is going to be there because of the rains. There's all kinds of mustard and fillery and fiddleneck and different ground flowers that are out there for the bees to work even after almonds are done. So we do have a lot of forage, but we just need good weather for the bees to be able to go out and fly to it.
Gene, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time. I know that this is the beginning of the season and your time is so precious. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Could you share ABF's website with our listeners and also how beekeepers can become more involved?
Sure. Well, the American Beekeeping Federation website is abfnet.org, and you can check that out and find out a great deal of what the ABF has to offer. We have memberships of all sizes. Again, as I mentioned, we have small-scale sideliner, commercial memberships, and any membership of any scale will allow you to access the webinars, and you get the electronic newsletter as well as the bi-monthly printed newsletter that has the e-newsletter and the printed newsletter have all kinds of information that's current, that's helpful to beekeepers of any size. And and of course, Gerald, welcome to come to our annual convention. Our next convention is going to be in Reno, Nevada, in January of 2018, at the Grand Sierra Resort. So I'd love to see you there. But certainly, the American Beekeeping Federation, again, is the largest national beekeeping organization in the USA. And,
it's also the oldest, isn't it?
Well, it is. It was initially formed in 1943, and we've got state beekeeper organizations that are older than that, but from a national perspective, it is the oldest national organization. Anyway, proud to be president of it, and
thank you for the invitation. I'd like to return the invitation. I'd like to invite you back after the pollination season is after the almond pollination season is finished to give us an update as far as how things went, because I know each year it's been really very tricky for the commercial beekeepers. So it'll be interesting this year to see how they fare and how the bees managed. So please, if you have the time, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to just let me know, and I'd be glad to give you an update on how things went.
Thank you, Gene.
I just wanted to say thank you, Gene. It's good to talk with you again. Gene and I last talked face-to-face, I think, in Omaha in 1996. Obviously, we've seen our names frequently, but I don't believe we've talked since then.
I think you're right, Tom. It's been since the late 90s sometime, and great to hear your voice again, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Well, we're both still at it, so that's a positive, I guess.
Yeah, we're both surviving somehow, some way. We're surviving
yep.
in the bee industry.
Yep.
Well, folks, please tune in each week to listen to Tom as he and I continue to explore these issues that beekeepers across the globe are dealing with. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please check out the companion article, which will be available on theorganicview.com. Thank you for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon.